Well, tonight I do need you to be very exercised in your spirit, especially in the midst of this particular environment with all the boom, all the going on. I hope there'll be boom in your spirit, you know, as you're hearing the words. Well, tonight we come to message 10, also from the book of Peter's. Is concerning shepherding according to God. We have ministered on this subject actually quite a number of times in the recent few years. So in one sense, many of you should have some familiarity with this matter, especially in relation to the practice. Well, tonight, it is in the context of this training concerning our experiencing, enjoying, and expressing Christ. We come to this matter of shepherding according to God. Amen. So on the one hand, apparently, such a matter, shepherding, is related to our practice. So just like preaching the gospel, teaching the Bible, and so forth. But actually, it involves a lot of our experience of Christ and our enjoyment of Christ. And I'm not sure that we have all seen this aspect of the shepherding. It is not as hard to see the doing part of the shepherding. Every time when we come to the matter of shepherding, we focus on what we need to do. And I don't mean that there is not the need of doing. But we must realize everything that we do, that we practice, that we carry out, must be number one, according to a heavenly vision. Amen. We don't just practice to work out, to do things just for the sake of doing something, working out something. What is our vision? Do we have a vision? Actually, this matter of the shepherding is for the working out of God's eternal economy. Without shepherding, God's economy has no way to be worked out. It is actually one of the greatest subjects in the whole Bible, the matter of shepherding, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But we may only take it from the side of just doing something, having a good practice. So number one, we need to be calibrated by a clear vision. And also, we need to be constituted with an adequate experience and enjoyment of Christ. When we go to shepherd someone, What do we go to shepherd them with? Just with our zeal? With a good heart? With some, full of concern? Some good provision? But what is essentially what we want? What do we want to shepherd people with? We must shepherd people with Christ. I really enjoy this outline our brother prepared tonight in this outline to bring us particularly to this emphasis, to realize that the practice of shepherding is not merely just doing something. I have heard even saints telling me, well, Why keep talking about shepherding? Just do it. You're talking too much. Just do more. Well, I understand what they mean. Yes, we do need to have more practice, more practical carrying out. But at the same time, I believe the Spirit knows how much we still need to be perfected in this matter of shepherding, according to God. It is not according to someone's instruction, encouragement, motivation, some demand, some requirements. Our shepherding must be according to God. Amen. I thank the Lord that He has not given us up. He is still bringing us back to a subject like this again and again. And I hope you will not have the feeling, oh, just repeating the same thing, just go and do it. We need to humble ourselves. We recognize our weakness, our shortcomings, our failures in many ways. Surely, we have so many shortages in our shepherding, in our practice of shepherding. But it's not just a matter of doing it. The Lord must get through with this matter of the shepherding according to God, according to what He intends, according in oneness with His, with the vision of His economy. So I hope that through another speaking like this, the Lord may gain a little bit more ground in us. We should not take this matter merely in an outward way. We have to be before the Lord under the light of the heavenly vision and with the infusion of Christ as we are receiving in this training. We need more of this dispensing, of this infusion of Christ into our being so that we can be the proper shepherds to shepherd according to God. As I said, shepherding according to God is probably one of the greatest subjects in the whole Bible. Do you realize God is a shepherd? Of course, we all know Psalm 23. David says, Jehovah is my shepherd. God has a disposition of shepherding. He loves to shepherd people. If you read the Old Testament, the key persons that were raised up by Him, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, they were all shepherds. And in Ezekiel chapter 34, that Jehovah was rebuking the leaders of Israel who were supposed to be the shepherds over His people. But they were instead shepherding themselves, feeding themselves. God was so mad at them. He was judging them. He set them up to be the shepherds of the flock, but instead they shepherd themselves. So if you read Ezekiel 34, God spoke some strong words to these so-called shepherds. They were not doing the right thing. God was so concerned for His flock, for His sheep, but yet they were mistreated. They were ill-treated by these so-called shepherds. That eventually, in verse 15, God says, I myself will shepherd my people. I will cause them to lie down. You guys are unfaithful. You guys are selfish. You guys are just shepherding yourself. I want you to shepherd my sheep, my flock. So now I myself will shepherd my flock. I will cause them to lie down. And then when Jesus, who is God incarnate, came to the earth, then he he told people, he is the good shepherd. Our God is a shepherd. The whole Bible is a matter of shepherding. Without shepherding, there's no way for God's economy to be realized, to be fulfilled. So I hope that we all would realize this, we are embarking on a very, very great matter in the whole Bible. We need the Lord's mercy, because this matter of the shepherding is not entirely divine. It's also very human. And we need to render the Lord the proper cooperation. How to be not just merely human, doing all the human things to shepherd people, take care of people's needs, but without realizing there has to be the proper content, proper constitution in our being. So when we shepherd someone, we can say we are shepherding according to God. Even Brother Lee himself, before he left us, he identified shepherding as one of the three main factors to bring in that final, ultimate new revival before the Lord returns. And I believe the Lord will do this. The Lord will do this. He will complete what he has begun. He brought us. He brought us to the highest peak of the divine revelation. He showed us the proper God-man living. Now he also must perfect us in our shepherding according to God, so that a new revival, the ultimate revival, can be brought in before our Lord returns. Okay, now we take a look at this outline. The first point, shepherding is to take all-inclusive tender care of the flock. Shepherding refers to taking care of all the needs of the sheep. Tender care of the flock. All taking care of all the needs of the sheep. We often refer to John chapter 21 concerning this matter of shepherding. It is a most fitting, most wonderful portion of the word to reveal this matter. Brother Ed, of course, last night he already talked about this. But tonight I'd like to still to repeat this with you and highlighting, stressing some of the points. The story was, after the Lord resurrected, now the disciples, they became discouraged. The master is gone. And now, also, they were concerned for their livelihood. How are we going to live? So they were in a state of discouragement. So Peter took the lead to say, I'll go fishing. And his fellow brothers say, we'll go with you. So they went fishing. And as you know, they fished all night. Didn't catch anything. And then Jesus was at the shore, calling them, little children. He didn't say, did you catch anything? What's wrong with it? What's wrong with you? You're a professional fisherman. You're fishing at the best time. You didn't get anything. He didn't talk like that. Instead, he says, do you have anything to eat? They probably had not eaten for some days. They were hungry. Jesus told them, you put the net on the right side. And they did. And they caught this, abundance of fish, 153 of them. And then because the apostle John recognized it is the Lord. So, you know, Peter jumped in the water. They swam to shore. You know what? When they arrived at the shore, they saw there was the fire with some fish on it. Some fish on it. Not the fish caught by them. Jesus brought some fish. Jesus asked him, let's come have breakfast. You know, the disciples, you may say, Peter was backsliding at that point. He was ready to give up. He was discouraged. He was losing faith. He was anxious for his livelihood. It's at this point, Jesus invited them to have breakfast. Without exposing Peter's failure, without reprimanding him, rebuking him, what's wrong with you? I called you, Peter. You should have been faithful. Now you are backsliding. You know, many times in our caring for people, we may not necessarily express it, but in our heart, you see someone who had not been to meeting and occupied by the world for many years. Well, you may not say it, but in your heart, there's some little, have some opinion, have some concept toward him. But the way the Lord Jesus invited these disciples to have breakfast without even touching anything of their failures, of the backsliding, shows us how tender the Lord was. To shepherd people, not just some inanimate object, a chair or a table, yet shepherding a person. The disciples were in a state of discouragement, of losing faith, don't know how to go on. They want to go back to the world. So it was in this kind of situation the Lord expressed his tender care in shepherding them. This is, I would say, very touching to realize. It is now, after they finished breakfast, the Lord then asked Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep, feed my lamb, shepherd my sheep, and then feed my lamb, feed my sheep. So this chapter show us what a tender care means in shepherding people. Number two says the two basic elements of shepherding are cherishing and nourishing. A, to shepherd is to comfort, to soothe, to nurture with tender love, and to foster with tender care. In shepherding others, we should first cherish them to make them happy, and then we should nourish them. In the earlier messages, we referred to Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, in presenting to the Colossians, the high revelation concerning Christ being the mystery of God. Paul says that your hearts may be comforted. The Colossians were disturbed, troubled by all the philosophies, all the isms going on around them. So now, before Paul was able to impart God's economy into them, to show them the mystery of God, he mentioned that may your hearts be comforted. That your hearts may be comforted, they being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. So this is how, Paul's way of even cherishing these troubled Colossians before he can impart into them the high revelation concerning Christ. Number three says, in the Lord's recovery today, there is an urgent need of shepherding. In the Lord's recovery today, there is an urgent need of shepherding. As I look back, since the Lord raised up his recovery through Brother Nee in 1922, for the last 100-plus years, the Lord has been shepherding his recovery in such a marvelous way. So even though after Brother Nee, Brother Lee, both ministers of the age have gone to be with the Lord, we are still here today. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters, we are still here today. Amen. It is such a blessing to be in the Lord's recovery. I would say we are so blessed with this, with seeing the richest ministry on the whole earth, to see the high peak of the divine revelation, to see all these rich truths, conference after conference, trainings after training. And also the Lord blessed his recovery with many, many thousands of churches all over the earth. You know, I don't know how many churches are represented here, probably at times I believe in the, you know, even including the ones on Zoom, could be over, sometime we got report, over 100 countries signed in on Zoom to participate in these conferences and trainings. So this is indeed the Lord's blessing with his recovery, with so many churches, so many saints. And I would also say the Lord blessed the recovery very much with many young people. Like we mentioned, a number of us brothers mentioned it noticeably in this training, so many young ones. We are so encouraged by you all being here in the Lord's recovery. It is not a small thing. But without shepherding, all the high truths that we have heard, that we have learned, will just remain as knowledge. It is through the shepherding we can be ushered into the reality, the working out of all the high revelation we have received. Without shepherding, even the so many thousands and thousands of local churches may remain as just a kind of formality. You come to have your meeting, you come and you go. What is the real church life? Every real church life must be a church life of shepherding. Otherwise, we will just left with just a kind of formality, routine. Also, without shepherding, so many of our young ones and new ones, like here among us, you have no way to go on and to be raised up, to be perfected, to become useful in the church life, in the recovery. So I say, I agree with this point. Today in the Lord's recovery, there is an urgent need of shepherding. The greatest lack among us is in the matter of shepherding. In his organic salvation, God the Father first regenerates us by God the Spirit and then shepherds us in God the Son as our shepherd, that we may exist and grow in his life for eternity. The other day, I mentioned God's organic salvation comprised of the six items, beginning from regeneration, sanctification, renewing, transformation, confirmation to glorification. But Brother Lee, in another occasion, he added, shepherding is another item in God's organic salvation. as well as building. So shepherding is not just some kind of doing, some kind of practice only. Shepherding is an item in God's organic salvation to help the saints to exist and grow in his life for eternity. C says, shepherding the believers is crucial for their growth in the divine life unto maturity for the building up of the body of Christ. That's why in that portion, Ephesians 4, 13 to 16, not only do we have the apostles who preach the gospel and raise up churches, the prophets who can speak for God, also the evangelists who can preach the gospel, but also they are shepherds and teachers. For the building up of the body, the building up of the body is by not only by the gifts, the gifted members, but also by each one part according to their measure to build up the body by itself in love. D says the shepherding that builds up the body of Christ is a mutual shepherding. In Christianity, they rely on the pastor, the so-called the pastor, to shepherd their flock, their congregation. That is not what is revealed in the Word. The Word tells us that, yes, in the church, Christ, the ascended Christ, gave gifts. And these gifts perfected the members. And among them, even the shepherds and teachers, they perfect all the members to do the same thing as they do. And eventually, it is by these perfected members, they build up the church directly. Amen. They build up the body of Christ directly. So it's by all the members shepherding one another, not by just some professional ones, the pastors, the deacons, but by all the members. If you read 1 Corinthians 12, the portion 23 to 26, there it Paul tells us the members would have the same care for one another. They're members who are uncomely. They're members who are not so honorable. So we need to care for each other. We don't have to look to the pastor. We don't have to look to a certain leader. You and I are members of the body. We care for one another. When one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member is glorified, all the members rejoice with it. So this shepherding we are talking about, according to God, is a mutual shepherding. It's a shepherding in mutuality. All the believers, regardless of their stage of spiritual growth, need shepherding. We all have defects and shortcomings and need others to shepherd us. We shouldn't think, many of the younger ones here, newer ones, you may think you need shepherding because you are so young, you are so new. Well, I would say, Brother Ron needs shepherding. Brother Ricky needs shepherding. Brother Ray needs shepherding. Some of these old folks, we need a lot of shepherding. Actually, maybe more than you do. You don't know your coming just to say, hello, how are you, brother, means so much to us. You think shepherding is only mainly from the older ones, mature ones, to the younger ones. In the body of Christ, we all are members one of another, and we shepherd one another. We need to be under the organic shepherding of Christ and to be one with him to shepherd others. We are both sheep and shepherds. Shepherds and shepherding and being shepherded in mutuality. Through this shepherding, the church is built up into the body of Christ. So on the one hand, you are sheep. On the other hand, at the same time, you are shepherds. Amen? Amen. So we are shepherding sheep. We are sheep receiving shepherding, and we are sheep also shepherding other sheep. You know, the at least I think it's in Revelation 7, talks about the Lamb will shepherd us. The Lamb on the throne, He will shepherd us, bring us to the springs of living water. So I hope many of the young ones and new ones, don't belittle yourself and say you don't know all that much. As long as you are a member in the body of Christ, you are a sheep as well as a shepherd. You have a shepherd's life in you. Now, point E says, the more we are constituted with Christ, the more we will spontaneously live a shepherding life and have the burden to take care of others. I feel this is a very enlightening point. Let me read this again. The more we are constituted with Christ, the more we will spontaneously live a shepherding life and have the burden to take care of others. If we are genuinely receiving the dispensing of Christ and being constituted with Christ, there will be a definite, a sure effect. Spontaneously, you will have a desire to shepherd others. Because the very Christ who is constituted into you, He is a shepherd. The life that constitutes you is a shepherding life. You know, in my message 3, I mentioned about the seeker in Song of Songs. Her tongue was dripping with honey. She was pursuing the Lord, enjoying her beloved as so many aspects to her, as the henna flower, as the myrrh, as the frankincense, as so many aspects, as the pomegranates. And now she received all these things, and they have been, and these, even the milk and honey, are being constituted into her. Now she is producing these things. Whatever she experienced of Christ, now she is producing it back to Christ and to minister, to serve others with. That's why when you arrive at chapter 7, she was so constituted with all the aspects of the riches of her beloved. Her tongues dripping with honey, and even earlier her hands were dripping with myrrh. She was soaked with myrrh and frankincense, with the death and resurrection of Christ, and with all kinds of riches. Now in chapter 7, she told her beloved, let's go to the fields. Let's go to the vineyards to go to visit God's flock, God's vineyard, the local churches, to shepherd them. So it is through the constitution with Christ, there will be a spontaneous issue of living a shepherding life. In other words, if we say we are enjoying the Lord, we are receiving His dispensing, but yet we have no concern to shepherd other sheep, then your dispensing of Christ is questionable. If you are genuinely receiving Christ dispensing Himself into you, constituting Himself into you, there will be a spontaneous issue, is shepherding. You have a care, you have a burden for others. Number one says, the constitution of Christ in our spiritual life has a shepherding aspect. How about that? It has a shepherding aspect to that. I'm still so impressed with John 21. After 20 chapters of John, expounding to us how God in Christ came to be life to man, and how also through his death and resurrection, man is being brought into God. God in man, man in God, fully mingled together as one, constituted together. Then there is this chapter 21 to show us what kind of life is this. It is a shepherding life. So when Jesus asked Peter, he didn't just say, Peter, go to shepherd my, feed my lamb, go to shepherd my sheep. Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? All our shepherding should be an issue of our love for the Lord. It's a commission of love. The Lord did not just charge Peter to do this for him. The Lord's first question was, do you love me? Do you love me? If we love him, we are joined to him, we are one with him, then there will be an issue. The issue is the feeding of the lamb, the shepherding of the sheep. Number two says, shepherding is not a matter of responding to being encouraged by others to shepherd. When I read this point, I cannot but help to, surely we have done this a lot. We encourage others. We even have shepherding program, shepherding training. Well, I don't mean that there is not that aspect of doing, as I said earlier. But so often, I found even myself and saints that we shepherd as a result of responding to certain encouragement. Oh, because the brothers really encourage us. Oh, we have to live a shepherding church life. You know, we all have to do this. And now, okay, make sure this week you have to shepherd 10 people. And then you give us a report. Every week you have to turn in a certain report. We are not here in a kind of some kind of a marketing program. This is God's house, the house of the living God. Amen. Our shepherding is not a movement. It's not something, it's not a program, it's not an organization. I know we human beings, being lazy, passive, often, we need some help, we need some encouragement. But even as we do that, we must have the conviction that whatever shepherding that may be brought out is not because of just someone's admonition, charge, or demand. There should be a love for the Lord. There should be an enjoyment, an experience of this Christ whom you love, who is constituted into you, to bring out this spontaneous issue of shepherding. We should never make shepherding a program, a movement of any kind. Number three says, shepherding is the issue of being constituted with Christ. Number four, the part of our being that has been constituted with Christ is the part that shepherds others. I say amen to that. If your lips have been constituted with Christ, that part shepherds people. Your words, your hands, your mind, your thought, your feeling, all these parts of us need to be shepherded by Christ, constituted by Christ, and only that part that has been constituted with Christ can truly shepherd people. We cannot shepherd anyone. The Christ constituted into us is the shepherd.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters, we all have to humbly admit, I am not a shepherd. I cannot shepherd by my natural life. I need another life. And praise the Lord, there is another life that has come into us. He is in you and me, right? We have to turn to Him. We have to allow Him. We have to cooperate with Him. He is the one, the Christ constituted into us. He is the shepherd. Point F says, we need to shepherd the flock of God according to the loving and tender heart of our Father God and according to the seeking and shepherding spirit of our Savior Christ. This is the story of the prodigal son and also the lost sheep mentioned in Luke chapter 15. My brother Ed also mentioned that this story last night. Indeed, when the son, that prodigal son, went away with all the father's possession for him, he squandered all the money. He was living with the pigs. And then he came to his mind and he returned to the father's house. The father has been waiting for him to return. And when the father saw him, the father ran to him. He did not run to the father. The father ran to him. And when the father saw him, the father hugged him, embraced him. The father did not say a word. It's about time you come home. Finally, you're waking up. The father did not say a word like this. He seems that the father has forgotten. This son has squandered all his possession. The father only knew what a joy to have him back. If we are going to shepherd someone, we cannot remember all their shortcomings. If you still have in mind, oh, what did he do wrong? And the father did not try to correct, to reprimand. You will never be able to shepherd. So the father just said, kill the fattened calf. Bring in the best robe. It's time to rejoice, to be merry. This is the father's loving and forgiving, tender heart. And same with the shepherd. The sheep, the one lost sheep. How did he get lost, the sheep? That sheep just wandered off by itself for whatever reason. Either wrong sense of direction and distraught and just wandered off. And here the shepherd left the 99 behind to go after that one lost sheep, which was in distraught and lonely, left, wandered off, and he brought him back. This is the heart, the spirit that we need to have in our shepherding of people. Number one says we need to shepherd one another in love. Well, here the reference is 1 Corinthians 13. Dear saints, indeed, our shortage, our lack in our shepherding is because we are short of love. As Brother Lee pointed out in that book, The Word of Love, that he gave, the word, such a critical word just before he left us, that he even pointed out that there seemed to be a spirit of superiority among us, not a spirit of love. a spirit of superiority. We are better than others. We are higher than others. That as long as that spirit is here, we will never be able to bear fruit. We'll never be able to shepherd others. Love is what we need. And love is the inner substance of God. Amen. Love is God Himself. Amen. In this matter of shepherding, we need to love, shepherd one another in love. These verses in 1 Corinthians 13, I hope you would even pray read them, you know, on your own. Spend your morning time with the Lord using these verses. What love is. It's not the love that you think, that your concept, lovey-dovey, that kind of a love. The love that does not take account of evil. The love that covers all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The love that never fails. Love is the most excellent way for us to be anything and to do anything. God has given us a spirit of love. Since God is love and since we have been regenerated by God to be His species, we should be love. We should not only be in love, be with love, we should be love. As God is love, we should be love. Number three, the body of Christ builds up itself in love. When people come to us or when we go to people, we don't want to make them feel just a block of ice come to them. Or they come to the meeting of the church, they come to a refrigerator, they come to a law court. No. To shepherd people, we need love, which is God Himself in His tenderness, in His inner substance being expressed. Now, point number four now, Roman 4. Christ is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, and the shepherd of our souls. These are the four aspects of Christ being a shepherd mentioned in the New Testament by all of the three main writers of the New Testament, John, Paul, and Peter. He says, as the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus came that we may have life and may have it abundantly. He laid down His soul life, His human life, to accomplish redemption for His sheep, that they may share His Zoe life, His divine life. Our Christ laid down His life to accomplish redemption, referring to His death, His crucifixion. He is a good shepherd by first laying down His life to die for us. That's why I said, you know, in my previous message that, you know, every time when we come to the Lord's table, there should be such a feeling within us that the Lord died for us, died for all our sins, right? We don't deserve to be at this table, but because of His redemption, we have a place here. I mean, for eternity, we'll be grateful to remember the salvation we have received. He laid down His life for us. Then number two, He leads His sheep out of the fold into Himself as the pasture, the feeding place where they may eat freely of Him and be nourished by Him. He feeds us. Not only He redeemed us, He also feeds us. Then number three, the Lord has formed the Jewish and Gentile believers into one flock, the church, the body of Christ, under His shepherding. He also flocks us together. He does not leave us by ourselves individually. Now He flocks us together with the saints, with all His members, with all the fellow sheep. It's so wonderful to be with one another these few days, right? Haven't you enjoyed just being with one another? Just in this environment. All the sheep say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He flocks us together. He died for us. He's feeding us. He is flocking us together to make us his one church, one body of Christ. Then B, this is what Paul says. God raised up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, in the blood of an eternal covenant. The Lord Jesus died for us. He shed the blood for us. God the Father raised him up from the dead to make him the great shepherd of the sheep in the blood of an eternal covenant. What is this covenant? God made a covenant with his people that he will put his laws into our heart, that we can know him inwardly without anyone to teach us, that we would be his people. He will be our God. Then he will not remember our sins anymore. Such a covenant is being enacted by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Christ enacted, established this covenant God made with his people with the goal of gaining a corporate people, the flock, the church, for himself. This resurrected Savior, he is the great shepherd of the sheep. Number one says the eternal covenant is to consummate the New Jerusalem by shepherding. Number two, the eternal covenant is the covenant of the New Testament to gain a flock, which is the church issuing in the body of Christ and consummating in the New Jerusalem. Our resurrected Christ is the great shepherd, is the great shepherd carrying out, fulfilling God's covenant with us to make us his church, his body, and to consummate the New Jerusalem. And C, another word by Peter, as the chief shepherd, Christ shepherds his flock through the elders of the churches. The ascended Christ, he gave gifts to men. And also, through the apostles, he set up elders who are to be the overseers of the church, which in each locality is a flock of God there in that locality. He sets up elders who are not to be the controllers, but to be the overseer, to shepherd the flock, to follow him, to cooperate with him. So in every church, there has to be such overseers to cooperate with our chief shepherd. Number one says, without the elders shepherding, the church cannot be built up. The elders shepherding should be Christ shepherding through them. There are some among us, even here in this gathering, who are elders in the churches. Your main function is to shepherd God's flock. Christ needs you to cooperate with him. Don't direct the saints. Don't control the saints. Shepherd the saints. The chief shepherd needs the cooperation of all the elders to carry out the shepherding in the churches. And D, another word by Peter, as the shepherd of our souls, the pneumatic Christ oversees our inward condition, caring for the situation of our inner being. His shepherding is not just to take care of all our outward needs, but even more, take care of our inner needs. Then our souls. He's a shepherd of our souls. He shepherds us by caring for the welfare of our soul and by exercising his oversight over the condition of our inner being. Because our soul is very complicated, we need Christ, who is the life-giving spirit in our spirit, to shepherd us in our soul, to take care of our mind, emotion, and will, and of all our problems, needs, and wounds. How is your soul, dear saints? How's your mind? How's your emotion? You know, these days, as we get older, my mind, it doesn't work so well. We don't remember things. Sometimes, you know, my wife and I, we just, oh, you don't remember that. I said that. I don't remember this. Our soul has so many problems, so complicated. You know, sometimes just by because we don't remember things and it causes a lot of stress on ourselves. And our souls need a lot of shepherding. I think some of the older ones, you know what I'm talking about. Our emotion, our will, our mind, you know, in some sense, we are all mental cases. In some sense, we are all mental cases. We all have some funny ideas and concepts. We need a shepherding. The shepherding to care for the welfare, well-being of our soul, of our inward being. Okay, now we come to the last section. Romans 5, shepherd the flock of God according to God. The following are 10 wonderful points to open up this matter of what it means to be according to God. A says, according to God means that we live God. The word according to means to be in agreement with or in accord with or in conformity with. So we to be according to God means that we are in full agreement with God. We have to live God. We are conformed to God. Number B says, when we are one with God, we become God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. And when we are God in our shepherding of us, and we are God in our shepherding of others. Of course, not the God in the Godhead, not the God as the Almighty and Sovereign, but God in life and nature. We have to be God when we shepherd a young one, a new one. We shepherd him as God, not as one who is to send down the thunders and, you know, but God in his life, in his nature. We have been grafted into him, according to Romans 11. Our human life, full of shortage, now has been grafted. Our natural life now has been grafted to the divine life, the healthy life. Now we learn to live the mingled life. We are one with him. We become God in life and nature. C says to shepherd according to God is to shepherd according to God's nature, God's desire, God's way, and God's glory. Not according to our preference, interest, purpose, and disposition. What is God's nature? God's nature is holiness, is holy. What is God's desire? His desire is to have the church, to have his body for Christ. What is God's way? God's way is the way of life. What is God's glory? It's his expression. To be according to God, we must be according to his nature, of a holy nature, his desire for an organism, and his way of life, and his glory for his expression. Not according to our own preference, interest, purpose, and disposition. We don't shepherd because of our own interests, or I liked shepherding this one. In this matter of shepherding, we don't have any choice. It's not selective. It's not by your preference. I like to shepherd this people, this kind of people over that kind of people. God's love has no regard of person. God loves all men. This is the love that is put in us for us to shepherd others with. To shepherd according to God is to shepherd according to what God is in his attributes. God's attributes refers to what God is. He is love, he is light, he is holiness, he is righteousness. All these attributes of God becoming our human virtues for us to apply in our shepherding of others. He says, in order to shepherd according to God, we need to become God in life, nature, expression, and function. One, we need to be filled to the brim with the divine life, enjoying the triune God as the fountain, the spring, and the river, to become a totality of the divine life, even to become the divine life itself.
Amen.
Saints, we can become the divine life itself.
Amen.
Zoe, we are all Zoe. The more you eat Zoe, drink Zoe, you become Zoe. We need to become God in his attributes of love, light, righteousness, and holiness. We need to be the reproduction of Christ, the expression of God, so that in our shepherding we express God, not the self with his disposition and peculiarities.
Amen.
We need to become God in his function of shepherding the flock of God according to what he is and according to his goal in his economy. Now, point F, if we would shepherd according to God, we need to become one with God. The basic principle of the Bible is that in his economy, God is making himself one with man and man one with him. God desires that the divine life and the human life be joined together to become one life that has one living. I said earlier that, you know, this matter of shepherding is not entirely just divine, is also human. It's not just human, but it's also divine. But the human and divine must be mingled together as one. The human is just a means, is just a vessel. The divine must be the content. So as we shepherd, yes, we need to bring a young one, maybe to have a boba, to have a to eat a sandwich. Well, that's very human. But as you are doing the human things, well, is it just merely human? How about the divine? And it's not necessarily, doesn't mean that all you're going to sit down at the boba shop and then you started downloading the Bible with that person or the messages, you know. It's not that way. It's with the Christ that is constituted into you.
Amen.
You may not even necessarily speak one biblical word, but even the way you speak to that person, you express Christ, minister Christ to that person in a very, seems to be a human way. The love of God being expressed as your human love. His attributes becoming our human virtues. So, I would say this is the difficult part for our exercise. Surely we don't want to just do this in a human way. We need to all the time exercising to be one spirit with the Lord. Now, Jesus, shepherding according to God requires that we be constituted with God. God desires to dispense himself into our being so that our being may be constituted with his being to be one constitution with his being. In Colossians 3:11, of course, there's no this or that, but Christ is all and in all. Christ must become our all. This surely implies our being constituted with this Christ to be everything. He is our patience. He is our compassion. He is our mercy. All these must be Christ being constituted into us. As the divine being, God infuses us with his element, causing us to be the same as he is in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. Point H, only those who live God can shepherd according to God. God's economy is to work himself into us so that we may receive him as our life and life supply in order to live him. We are participating in the divine life and the divine nature so that we can live God in our humanity. So every day we are exercising to live God. We eat God and we live because of him, right? And by living him, we can shepherd according to God. I, as those who would shepherd according to God, we need to represent God and function as the acting God. One, Jehovah made Moses God to Pharaoh. In Moses, God had one to represent him and to execute his will. So here, to be God, to shepherd people according to God, that means we have to become God in to represent God and to function as an acting God. So this means often in our shepherding of others, it's not necessarily just to be so nice, so kind, so sweet, and so forth, so comforting. Sometimes God may touch you, lead you to speak some particular word to help this wayward person. Maybe even somewhat a strong word, but a word with love to guide him back. So you are there functioning as an acting God. Maybe at the moment may not be easy for that person to take, but afterwards he would realize that was God's shepherding him. In that erroneous path he was taking, but you shepherded him to, according to God, to bring him back. As the representative of God, Samuel was the acting God. Samuel could be the acting God because his being and God's heart were one. It says in Samuel 2, talk about Samuel will do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. Samuel's living and working were for the carrying out of whatever was in God's heart. And number three, in his ministry, Elisha the prophet, as the man of God, behaved himself as God's representative, as the acting God. Today, we the believers in Christ can be the same. We must be men of God. And this is not at all to exalt ourselves, to make us feel, I'm God. I'm coming to you as the acting God. No, not in that way. If you have that kind of putting out that kind of an air, you are not an acting God. So, but this is a fact. If we are being one with God, constituted with God, living God, then we have to become God's representative as the acting God to convey God's thoughts, God's desire to others. Now, finally, point J, to shepherd according to God is to minister God to others. The triune God is embodied in Christ and realized as the consummated Spirit. This is the God whom we worship, proclaim, and minister to others. If we would minister God to one another, we need to speak words of grace, truth, spirit, and life, ministering the process God who has been wrought into our being. I really like in 1 John chapter 5, I believe it's verse 16. There, the Apostle John talks about a believer who has committed sin. We need to pray for him and also to what? Minister life to that sinning one. I was quite a while troubled by that few words, minister life. Who minister life? Not God, not Christ, but you, me. We are the ones who are to minister life to that sinning one so that he can be shepherded. So Nathan, can you minister life? You have to say amen.
Amen.
Not by yourself, but by the life, by the Christ who has been wrought into you, constituted into you. We have to learn to speak words of grace, words of truth, words of spirit and life to one another. Shepherding is such a crucial, crucial matter in the Lord's recovery, in such an urgent need. Before the Lord comes back, in order for the Lord to gain the bride, the built-up body, the shepherding needs to be perfected. May the Lord have mercy on us. I hope we will not just take this as just another shepherding message, but take these points to the Lord. And hopefully, the Lord can gain another small step forward in our living of the shepherding life. Okay, let's pray with the one next to you for half a minute. Amen.